This is the Story Mine. I'm Dave Bullock, along with my co-host,
Kathy Barker. Well, as you know, Dave, yesterday was my birthday, and I want to celebrate our show today by airing some of my favorite stories and shows. So sit back, pull up your chair, and be ready to enjoy the Story Mine and Kathy's birthday bash. The first story I'd like to share is a special day that happened with my grandchildren over a year ago. In the spring, the bugs come out, and suddenly we have ants and flying creatures everywhere.
You know, Kathy, that's one of the things I like about winter. No bugs to bug me.
Let me tell you about a story that happened with my grandchildren and bugs. When I was growing up, I had the best time in our old backyard, looking for horned toads and bugs. Bugs were the greatest thing, the ants, the red ants. I would love to come across the hill. They were so industrious. You never wanted to get stung by one. I got a magnifying glass when I was a child and had so much fun making small things big. And when I had my own children, I too gave them a magnifying glass. The other day, I happened to be with three of my grandchildren. From one family was Boston, 5, and Charlie, his little brother, 2. And the other boy was Sammy, who is 4 years old, who is their cousin. Boston and Charlie had magnifying glasses, and we went looking for bugs. Sammy didn't have a magnifying glass, but of course, what kid wouldn't want to come along looking for bugs? I put the magnifying glass up to my eye so they could see how big my eye looked. And then they were amazed when they would look at the different bugs and see the beauty and how large they looked in the magnifying glass. It was almost scary. At first, we had the regular shoving and grabbing and, "I want that! Let me look!" We would share. Sammy would ask to use the magnifying glass, and Boston would say, "Sure," and hand it to Sammy. And Sammy would say, "Thank you." When Sammy was done with it, he handed it back to Boston, and Boston, too, would say, "Thank you." It didn't go as smoothly as that right at the beginning, but both of them wanted to have this great adventure with Grandma, and so they worked really hard to share. But by the end of our time hunting through the yard, there were no fights, and great sharing was had. The best time we had was looking at all the plants and all the dirt, looking for those bugs on the leaves. Some of them were flying bugs called box elders, red and black. At first, they didn't even want to get close to them because the box elders moved very quickly. But I got them to put their hand down, and the box elder bug went right over Boston's hand, and he started laughing and laughing. Next, it was Sammy's turn, and he said, "It tickles." Charlie, I could never understand what he was saying, but I knew that his giggles meant that he, too, liked holding onto the box elder bug. We saw ants. We saw stink bugs. Some had 6 legs, 8 legs. We saw antennas, beautiful iridescent wings. They were pretty afraid of the spiders, but I tried to teach them, as I had tried to teach my son and daughter, not to be afraid of spiders. I don't know what it is, but the way those spiders moved gave me the heebie-jeebies. I tried not to pass that on to my grandchildren. I heard all about the time that Boston got stung by a bee and how he slapped it from his arm and it stung him. And I told them about the time I got stung. We sat for a while on the grass when it got too hot. Boston told me all about his gecko and how he fed it mealworms and crickets. Sammy told me all about his adventures in his yard looking at different bugs and things. And Charlie just sat there laughing. It was one of the best days that I had hanging out with my grandkids looking at bugs with a magnifying glass. As I've grown older, dogs have become a special part of my life. And I think any of you animal owners out there will really love the following song by Beth Horner.
Thank you. like fun when other people had a pet. I'm going to get me one, I said. Have a little friend around the place. So I went to the pet store down the street. Lying in the middle of a canine heap was a sleepy little fellow with a quiet sort of a face. Well, the next 2 weeks were certainly strange. What with the barking and the thinking up of names. Old Blue, he wasn't, and Spot didn't really fly. So I called him Harry, just because that's how he is, and that's how he was. And that's how the house gets more and more as days go by. My dog, my dog, had no good mangy mongrel pup. My dog, so full of mischief, so full of love. For a while I had to watch out where I sat. The rug got funky and he chewed up my hat. He still does that once in a while when he gets mad. But it's been pretty even after all. I mean, I taught him all I know about playing ball, and he's helped me get rid of a lot of stuff that I used to have. Sometimes friends drop by for a couple of beers. We all sit around, take turns rubbing his ears and calling him. It's been that way ever since he was a pup. And he sleeps with me. When I turn over, well, he turns over. Then I turn over, then he turns over, then I turn over, and we get up. Sometimes I get home and I'm feeling down. I look over and there's that hound just staring at me, his big old wild eyes. I think somebody loves me, my dog Harry, and what's more than that, he can fetch and carry, and that's better than most, I surmise. As my life keeps moving through its different conditions, the biggest changes come with the smallest decisions. You're in for a surprise if you think you got it figured, I've found. I mean, who'd ever think I'd dote on a pet? But looking back, I always forget what I did with my time before my dog was around. My dog.
I must say, when I was a young girl, I really enjoyed being outdoors, and this following tale is a real reflection of my life as a child in California.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Santa Claus was at the Story Mine, and he said that you had been a good girl. Well, I hate to sling mud, but I know a story about you that you told to me about you being a little bit disobedient, too. It kind of reminds me of the BB gun, and you're going to shoot somebody's eye out.
Well, I did have three older brothers, and we lived on over a quarter acre out in the L.A. suburbs by the L.A. riverbed. What was interesting is that at that time, we had the full run of the whole neighborhood. People didn't keep track of their kids the same as they do today. In our quarter acre, the grass grew out in the back taller than me. And at certain time in the spring, that's when it really grew very tall. And my mother told us, don't pull out the dirt clods and throw them. But it was so tempting, and we would get our forces together. We would pick sides, and we would have dirt clod wars. After the rain, you can pull on the grass, and a big old clod of dirt will come out. And it's huge. And if you just start wrapping your arm around, you can just fling that thing at someone and just really lamblast them. And we would have the best time having wars. Until someone would get hit smack dab in the face with a dirt clod and go running to mom, and then she would know that we had had a dirt clod war, and there would always be trouble to pay.
Disobedient Kathy. I'd bet that this spring, if we go out into a grassy field, I'm going to have to watch my back, huh?
Oh, Dave, I would never throw a dirt clod at you.
Yeah, there's plenty of snow out there right now, though.
Hey, Dave, when is the best time to tell a story?
Right now.
I come from a strong Irish heritage, and the next story reflects that. Here's David and Carol Sharp telling the Irish tale, The Tinker and the Water Spirits.
Does everyone know where the Isle of Man is? It's a little jewel of an island that sits right in the heart of the Irish Sea. And off in the west, right on the horizon, is Ireland. And on the other side is Scotland and Wales. And the people there speak a little bit of a mix of Irish Gaelic and Old Norse. And they're famous for their tailless cats, although the people themselves tell great tales and stories and songs and all kinds of manner of dancing and different things. The island is named after the Celtic sea god Manannan MacLir. And they're tinkers, if you know what a tinker is. They're people that work in tinsmiths and repair things, and they tend to be homeless, itinerant repairmen, and they're often shunned by the people in the Northern Isles. Donald was a tinker, as it were, for he had many things to sell. As he was trudging down the road with his little handcart on a hot summer's afternoon, he had the sea on one side of him off to the left, and on to the right, passed by a beautiful pond with great giant willows that swayed in the breeze. And there were huge tall rushes all about the pond, dragonflies and songs of birds everywhere. And it was so lovely and beautiful that it had a mysterious, dreamy quality about it. And so Donald set down his handcart, thinking that he could hear music faintly in the breeze. And so he did what he always did when he felt musical, is he pulled his flute out of his pack, and he walked over to the little pond, took his shoes off, and dangled his feet in the water. As he did so, he played along with what he thought he could hear, whispered by the breeze among the willow trees. To close his eyes, he looked into the water to see two women with dark hair swirling in the water before him. One played a harp, and the other beckoned to Donald to join them. And as Donald began to realize something was amiss, the tune changed to a darker, more mysterious melody, and as Donald played along with it, he felt a different change in the air. Above his head, higher and higher, until he was submerged into the pond, plop. And there, swirling in the water before him, were both of the lovely water sprites, one with the harp, and the other beckoned to him, and they said, "We want you to meet our father." And Donald looked down, and he could see that the pond was covered with moss. And from the depths of the moss-covered pond, up swam a great pale sea-colored water kelpie, in the shape of a great pale horse, and it swam before Donald, and it said,
"Stay with us always."
And Donald said, "Why?"
"Because you're drowning, and that's what we do."
Donald said, "Oh, well." And he began to realize that the bottom of the moss-covered pond was covered with all kinds of offerings and other things. And there were coins and jewels and cups made of gold and silver, and shields and swords, and here and there a hand that stuck out of the moss, or maybe what he thought was a face. And so Donald began to realize that something was amiss, and he began to play a tune that changed the songs of the water kelpie, for he had a magic flute after all. And as he played this tune, they played along with him. Found himself sitting on the bank of the little pond again with his feet dangling in the water. Suddenly, from the surface of the pond came the water kelpie, and he said to Donald,
"Where is the little bird inside?"
And Donald said, "There's no little bird inside. You have to learn to play it. Here, let me show you. It's a tune I learned called Bonnie Portmore."
"Where does the music come from?"
said the water kelpie. "Well, it comes from Ireland," said Donald.
"Where's that?"
"It's just across the road and down the hill, across the water, a few rights and lefts, and there you are."
"Oh, I see,"
said the water kelpie. And so he pulled himself up out of the water with a plop, and he said,
"Let's see, across the road, down the hill, across the water, a few rights and lefts, and there I'll be."
"Right," said Donald. And so off went the water kelpie, across the road, down the hill, and cloppity-cloppity-ploppity-plop into the water. And off it swam for Ireland, off in the west. Well, now that the water kelpie was safely out of the pitcher, so to speak, there was no sign of the water sprites at all. And Donald thought to himself, "Well, I'll reach down in here and take home a treasure. I haven't taken any treasure home in a long time." And so he grabbed one of the great golden chalices that set in the water there, studded with great rubies, and he said, "Ah, you'll make a perfect gift for my wife, and a little bit of a fee left over for myself if I pry one of the rubies out of here." And so he went back to his little pack on his cart, and he stuck it in the pack along with his flute, and he picked up the handles of the little handcart, and he trudged down the road, very happy because he had a new adventure, a new tale to tell, a new tune to hum, and he was a little richer and wiser as he went down the road humming his new tune. Do 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 do. Whatever that means.
Back when my daughter was in high school, she was asked to write a poem. She decided that she was going to write a poem about her first love, her first crush. Interestingly enough, when she wrote the poem, it still was her first love and her first crush. So, too bad my daughter isn't here to read it today, but she's down there in Arizona. So Kathy is going to read my daughter's poem. The title is called Ode to the Incredible Hulk.
He's big, he's green, he's my muscle machine. He's tough, he's rough, and oh so buff. His name is the Incredible Hulk. He came home with my dad one day. I begged my dad, please, please let him stay. He'd been abused for oh so long. His get up and go had got up and gone. Dad said it wouldn't take much to get him back on his feet. With some R&R, he'd really be sweet. I learned that he would be staying for quite a while. Everything was going just fine, and I wore a big smile. It was easy to see from the very start. It was meant to be. He had stolen my heart. Hulk was a hard one to handle at first. He'd like to kill me, or even worse. But I got it down, how to handle that brute. From that time on, we had a hoot. The Hulk and I were like two peas in a pod. I'm his guide, and he's my god. He's my bud, my pal, my feller. He's more loyal than that dog, Old Yeller. The Hulk takes me wherever I want to go, shopping, cruising, or to the drive-in show. He takes me to places I've never been before, high up in the mountains and down on the shore. We go four-wheeling, off-roading in the mud. I'm proud to say he's a hard-riding stud. The Hulk does exactly what I want him to do, whether it's a night on the town or a trip to the zoo. All I have to do is warm him up. After I turn him on, bada bing, bada boom, we're gone. He's a tough riding cowboy. I've scratched him at times. Then I'll polish him off, but he never whines. I can always count on the Hulk to be there for me, unlike most boys who just sit at home and watch TV. He doesn't get jealous when I date other guys. He doesn't threaten to beat them up or blacken their eyes. He just hangs around until I need him some more, like to take me to school or over to the store. I guess you could say that the Hulk is a dream. He's my lean, green, muscular driving machine. With four wheels a-churning deep in the muck, with him for my ride, we'll never get stuck. People see his shimmering green splotched with mud, and I tell them all that he's my best bud. So if you see me with the Hulk, don't act like a schmuck. He belongs to me, and he ain't my boyfriend's truck. When it's all said and done, I've only got one thing to say. Why can't guys be more like my truck anyway?
Thanks, Kathy. Well, we've come to the end of our show.
Thank you for joining us on this happy day. If you see me on the street, be sure to wish me a happy birthday. People always know I look on the bright side of life. Enjoy this final song performed by Josh Goforth and David Holt.
I got the left hind leg of a rabbit and things are coming my way. All I got to do is just reach out and grab it, cause things are coming my way. Oh, Lord, how happy I feel. I got possession of an automobile. Don't have to work, don't have to steal, cause things are coming my way. I got possession of an automobile. Don't have to work, don't have to steal, and things are coming my way. Things are coming my way. Things are coming my way.